The time, 8:30. This is WBFO News. The Buffalo Police Department is thanking the community for their support during the search for Officer Craig Leonard, who went missing during a training exercise along the Niagara River Friday afternoon. The police department recovered his body yesterday afternoon. A procession brought Leonard's body to the Erie County Medical Center as police and firefighters lined the route. Leonard, a 9-year veteran of the force, was a member of Buffalo's K-9 unit and underwater recovery team. M&T Bank has named a new leader for its middle market banking group. With more, here's WBFO's Chris Cab.
Buffalo-based M&T has promoted Shelley Drake to regional president for Western New York. Drake, who has more than 45 years' experience at M&T, says in her new role she'll be overseeing the commercial banking middle market lending group.
Middle market to us would be companies that have revenues from $10 million all the way up.
Commercial customers, Drake says, can be anything from for-profit corporations to healthcare entities to not-for-profits.
If someone is building a new building, we want to be there to help build that building. And if someone needs lines of credit, I mean, all the basic banking needs that a commercial customer would need, that's what we're here to do.
Drake says she'll also be taking a leadership role within M&T's community banking team, which makes sure the bank is delivering the right product and services to all of M&T's customers. She'll also continue serving as president of M&T's Charitable Foundation, which distributed nearly $5 million in grants to local groups last year alone.
We're very heavily involved in education through our Buffalo Promise neighborhood and our initiative, as well as many of the colleges and private schools. And we are very involved in arts and culture and in healthcare.
Drake says M&T also supports local agencies that provide basic services like food and shelter to residents in need. Chris Kaya, WBFO News.
Support for WBFO is provided by our members and by Madai College. With small class sizes and personalized support from faculty members that have real-world experience, the graduate programs at Madai College are designed for working adults. Programs include business degrees like an MBA or master's in organizational leadership, as well as degrees in education and psychology. Madai also offers flexible scheduling options and a convenient location. More information at 716-SUCCESS or online at madai.edu.
Sunshine today with a high of 68, clear and mild tonight, low 52. Tomorrow, sunny and breezy with a high 65. It's 59 in Buffalo at 8:33. This is WBFO.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from ADT Security, helping to protect homes and businesses for over 140 years. ADT also provides health monitoring with medical alert services to help seniors live independently. More at ADT.com. And from Independent Sector, co-presenting Our Common Future, where changemakers nationwide can work to build knowledge for advancing the common good. October 25th through 27th in Detroit. More at commonfuture2017.org.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. Good morning. I'm David Green.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. So what happens now that U.S.-backed forces have captured Raqqa in Syria? The capital of the self-proclaimed caliphate declared by ISIS is largely in the hands of Kurdish forces now. Ambassador James Jeffrey is here. He served as U.S. ambassador to Iraq and Turkey, among other places he served. Ambassador, welcome back.
Thank you very much for having me.
Good morning. It's strange that we've talked about recapturing Raqqa for years now, and now that it's finally happening, it seems just barely to be a news story.
Because it's anticlimactic. We've known for some time that ISIS, which was a huge story, a huge threat, was on the way down. And this is, frankly, thanks to the United States and the international coalition it put together. It was an extraordinary accomplishment begun belatedly by President Obama, and President Trump has carried it forward. But other stories are now dominating in the Middle East, mainly who will fill in behind ISIS in these areas.
Which I want to get to, but just so that we're clear about ISIS, wasn't the whole propaganda power of ISIS that they had a capital, that they had territory, that they declared a caliphate, and are they doomed now that they don't have much of that?
As a special organization, yes. Its leader, al-Baghdadi, unlike al-Qaeda, had a state of some 9 million people, an economy of billions of dollars, and 35,000 more or less organized military forces. Those are all essentially gone now, other than a few hundred people here and there.
But, as you mentioned, someone fills in behind because there are multiple players in this extraordinarily complex Syrian civil war. So who gains as ISIS loses?
Look at it as a whole area between Tehran and Lebanon on the Mediterranean. Mm-hmm. That area of Iraq and Syria, full mainly of Sunni Arabs, has long been ruled by Shia leaders, Assad in Damascus, Maliki, and now Abadi in Baghdad,
right,
with considerable Iranian influence. And the Iranians are on the march. That's threatening to Turkey, a NATO ally, to Israel, a special friend of the United States, and to U.S. interests. And a big clash is coming.
I want to make sure that I understand what you're saying, Ambassador. ISIS, nobody's friend, is declining in these two countries, Iraq and Syria. But you're saying that Iranian-backed governments are regaining space as that happens.
Right. And they do two things. One, they generate new Sunni Arab resistance, typically of one or another terrorist sort. And two, they threaten Israel, they threaten Turkey, they threaten Jordan, they threaten U.S. interests because Iran is on the march as a regional hegemon.
Well, let's talk about those two minority rulers, so to speak. First, in Syria, the United States wanted to overthrow Bashar al-Assad, has since backed off of that in various ways. But now ISIS is gone. The threat that President Trump really wanted to focus on is gone. Is there now room for the United States to try a little harder to push Assad aside?
I don't think in a military sense, but there is a UN process recognizing the horror of that war and what Assad did against his own people and the threat to the neighbors of Assad and the Iranians, UN Resolution 2254, that calls on the international community to find a transition towards a more stable regime in Syria. That's a basis upon which we can try to work with the Russians. And one of the ways we work is we stay on the ground in Syria with our anti-ISIS coalition because those people don't want to go back under Assad.
Is a transition, I mean, the very word seems problematic to me. Is it even possible? Because Assad is going to hang on until he's thrown out in some forceful way, isn't he?
He will, but he doesn't own half the country. Turkish, American, some Jordanian forces own much of the ground with local allies, and the Israelis own a big part of the air. So it's a very complex military situation, and you've got Russia playing a mediating role one day or one afternoon, and the next morning, an ally of the Iranians in Syria role.
One other thing, because you raised Iraq and a Shia-dominated government in Iraq and how that's backed by Iran. Is it really so bad, though, if the Iraqi government regains its foothold? Because it might be allied with Iran, but it's also allied with the United States.
Well, Iraq, the U.S. policy towards this Kurdish referendum in the recent events was basically fine. That is, we have an interest in keeping Iraq together. We don't want to see Iraq another Iranian vassal state like Lebanon, mm-hmm. But it's never going to become a West Berlin. The best we can hope for is a neutral Finlandization of the country, and that's possible.
Finlandization, meaning on nobody's side. And you
exactly.
think it's moving in that direction?
I think we can keep it in that direction. The Iranians, however, want it as a second Lebanon.
Ambassador James Jeffrey, always a pleasure. Thanks.
Thank you.
And we're seeing more fallout in the entertainment industry following sex abuse allegations against movie mogul Harvey Weinstein. People in Hollywood are asking some tough questions about how to change the industry. Here's NPR's Ted Robbins.
Kathy Shulman is president of the L.A.-based nonprofit Women in Film. She says she has never seen so many members come forward for help.
A lot of pain and a lot of need for communication, resources, and references.
Shulman is herself an Oscar-winning producer with 30 years in Hollywood. She says Women in Film will announce that it's setting up a program to steer women toward help, whether it's a compassionate ear, mental health referrals, or legal counseling.
We will be putting together a group of legal experts who will be able to provide pro bono assessment of claims and also weed out, you know, what is, you know, a valid claim, what might not be a valid claim, and whether or not the legal process is a course but through which a person could actually find recourse.
More and more women in Hollywood are coming forward with stories of sexual harassment or discrimination, from little-known actresses to Oscar winners Reese Witherspoon and Jennifer Lawrence. Shulman says those in power now, from stars to executives, need to speak up and stop the harassment. And she says settlements that forbid women from speaking, which happened at least 8 times with Harvey Weinstein, also need to end.
People are generally told that if you've got this kind of a complaint, we want you out of here. that damages their career, but we'll give you a little money, which softens the pain, but you can't speak, which keeps it a secret, and then the pattern repeats itself. That has got to stop.
A harassment complaint cost another executive his job Tuesday. Roy Price, who headed Amazon Studios, resigned just days after Issa Hackett, executive producer of the series Man in the High Castle, publicly accused him of repeated unwanted propositions 2 years ago. As for Harvey Weinstein, accused by dozens of women of lewd behavior and even rape over a period of decades, he is said to be in Arizona at rehab for sex addiction. Tuesday, the board of the Weinstein Company met in New York and reaffirmed his firing. Harvey Weinstein also resigned from the board. Ted Robbins, NPR News.
And good morning. This is member-supported 88.7 FM WBFO in Buffalo. Traffic, for the most part, eased up now, and things are working along at speed on most of the major highways. Do keep in mind that Seneca Street closed as of today from Hamburg Street to Larkin Street in Buffalo. That's going to be in place for about a week. Well, with us this morning, talking about membership, we have Mark Scott and Carl Lamb.
Good morning, and thank you, Jay. I'm Carl Lamb from WNED-FM. Just down the hall and lending a helping hand this morning in the fall membership campaign, day number 5 of 7, because that's what you wanted. You wanted shorter pledge drives with less interruptions, and so that's what we're bringing to you, but we can't continue with them unless you call now and help us reach our hourly goals. I'm joined by Mark Scott this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, and we have a goal of 15 calls for this hour. We are 11 calls away. We have a monetary goal of $1,500, and we're just over $1,000 away. So we've made some progress this hour, but we're still not there. And you know what? Making these hourly goals, they're so important, because they represent each of the steps we need to reach if we're going to have a successful overall fund drive. So don't let us fall short now. You're listening. You should be supporting the news you're listening to. How do you do that? You can go online to WBFO.org. You can donate from your WBFO app on your smartphone or tablet, or you can call simply 1-888-858-WBFO. So many ways to get a hold of us. All we ask is that you try to find a way to use one of them and make that contribution.
Yes, the number again, 1-888-858-9236 or WBFO.org. And we want to talk about these flowers that were just introduced this morning at 6 o'clock. Maybe some of those listeners at 6 a.m. are now interested in the flowers now that they've, you know, woken up and aren't so groggy this morning. But at the $160 pledge level, a one-time credit card charge, a beautiful bouquet of autumn sunset flowers will be delivered by Tuesday, November 21st. They arrive in bud form, and they have time to bloom just in time for Thanksgiving. And you can bring it over or keep it as a centerpiece, bring it over to mom's house or a friend or a grandparent, and it'll certainly warm up the atmosphere. And they are beautiful. People really enjoy these flowers. At the $160 level, you would help us with our goal of taking 11 calls or $1,068. Will you be the next one to take the flowers? Help us lower that monetary goal by calling 1-888-858-9236.
You depend on us for real, honest journalism. That's our commitment to you. Now we're asking you to take a stand to support real, honest journalism. That's what we represent here at WBFO. That's what NPR stands for. NPR stands for the facts. So take a stand and support WBFO. 1-888-858-WBFO. Again, that number, dial carefully, 1-888-858-9236. Pledge online at WBFO.org. 11 calls to go, just over $1,000 to raise, and we can do it, but only if you will respond.
Your membership makes everything we do here possible by putting reporters in the places where news is happening, whether it's where the vice president was yesterday, the Oshai Children's Hospital, or right along the Niagara River. Your membership dollars enable this station to do its job and do its work for you, the listener. The number to call to support the station is 1-888-858-9236. Again, 1-888-858-WBFO. And as always, thank you.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Dave Mattingly. President Trump meets with members of the Senate Finance Committee today, where he's expected to discuss his proposed tax cut plan. It lowers the corporate tax rate from 35% to 20% and reduces the number of individual tax brackets. NPR's Giles Snyder says last night the president pitched his tax overhaul to a conservative group in Washington.
President Trump spoke at the Heritage Foundation, where he urged supporters of the Republican plan to cut taxes for businesses and individuals to pressure their lawmakers to pass it. He pitched the plan as a boost to the middle class, but Democrats say it's a giveaway to the wealthy. Senate Republicans are working to pass a budget blueprint this week, a move allowing them to pass a tax bill without Democratic support.
No deaths or injuries are reported after a fire broke out last night at Chevron's El Segundo oil refinery near Los Angeles. As Daniel Carson reports, the refinery is the largest on the west coast of the U.S.
Some of the flames came dangerously close to power lines, creating big electrical flashes and sending some lines to the ground. Thick plumes of smoke could be seen miles away at the Los Angeles International Airport. The refinery is just south of LAX. Police officers advised nearby residents to shut their windows. No one had to be evacuated.
The U.S. Geological Survey is reporting a magnitude 6.4 earthquake off the Pacific island of Tonga. I'm Dave Mattingly.
And good morning. This is WBFO. It's 8:46. There was no shortage of people lined up outside when Vice President Mike Pence traveled to Buffalo for two appearances on Tuesday. As WBFO's Michael Morosiak reports, one drew loud protests, while the other attracted a more friendly crowd.
Shortly after stepping off Air Force Two at the Buffalo Niagara International Airport, Vice President Mike Pence and his motorcade were on their way to Salvatore's Italian Gardens in the town of Lancaster and a lunch hour fundraiser to support local Congressman Chris Collins. Dozens of protesters lined up along Genesee Street and Transit Road with signs, chants, and assorted messages, none in support of Pence or Collins. Diana Patton identified herself as a transgendered veteran and takes exception to Pence's generally adversarial stance on gays, lesbians, and transgenders.
He's for conversion therapy, which is considered child abuse by the AMA, the APA, and all medical associations and experts. He's tried to pass laws against gay people, against trans people using the correct bathrooms.
Pence's next appearance was in the village of Lancaster and a roundtable discussion inside a local business headquarters. It was there Pence pitched the Trump administration's tax reform plans, including a simpler tax code.
You're taking a tremendous amount of time off the road, tremendous amount of time out of growing your business, whether that be selling cars or selling coffee, trying to figure out what you owe the government. Well, that's going to change. So we're going to have real tax simplification here, and 9 out of 10 Americans are going to be able to file their taxes on a single sheet of paper.
Outside, the bystanders were friendly to the Trump administration. Francis Dubrinsky was among them, and he praised Trump's selection of Neil Gorsuch for Supreme Court and his efforts to dismantle the Affordable Care Act.
It was an illegal act by the Obama administration. It was unconstitutional. The federal judge ruled as such.
Pence, recognizing the more supportive group in the village, briefly emerged to wave hello from a distance. But all too quickly, he was heading back to Washington. Michael Morosiak, WBFO News.
In just over 3 weeks, the new Oshai Children's Hospital at the Buffalo Niagara Medical Campus will be open to the public. But it was yesterday morning when hospital officials dedicated the new building. WBFO's Avery Snyder was there.
Warm colors, bright light, and a friendly touch adorn the walls of the new Oshai Children's Hospital in Buffalo. Every one of its 12 stories has a specially chosen theme, from the spirit of Buffalo to the Four Seasons, and from arts and culture to discovery. Every element in the design, like its indoor gardens, resource center, and meditation room, was chosen with families in mind.
It's going to bring a brand new healing environment that's going to allow our families, our children, our moms to really heal and be able to grow and thrive in ways that they weren't be able to on the Bryant Street campus.
Dr. Stephen Turkovich is chief medical officer at Bryant Street, the home of Oshai's predecessor, Women and Children's. He's excited about the new hospital's larger layout, which will allow for more advanced technology, along with patient rooms large enough to offer amenities to families. For parents like Jody Kotowski, whose daughter Francesca has been a patient at Women and Children's for 18 years, the simple touches like Oshai's pull-out couches and showers make all the difference.
I know when she was in the NICU, I had to wash my hair in the sink in the public bathroom because there was no shower. So to know that the moms are going to have that, it's a relief. It's something that you don't have to worry about.
What's outside the Oshai Children's Hospital is what offers even more amenities. The building is connected by bridges to the Gates Vascular Institute at Buffalo General, the Conventus Center for Collaborative Medicine, and the future University at Buffalo Jacobs School of Medicine. It all opens to the public on November 10th. Avery Schneider, WBFO News.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from the Lemelson Foundation, committed to improving lives through invention in the U.S. and in developing countries, and working to inspire and enable the next generation of inventors. More information is available at lemelson.org. From the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, supporting creative people and effective institutions committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information is at macfound.org. And from the Kresge Foundation at kresge.org.
8:51 at WBFO. The Buffalo Sabres lost in overtime last night at Las Vegas, 5-4. Their next home game Friday against the Vancouver Canucks. Baseball, the Yankees over Houston, 6-4. American League Championship Series tied at 2 games apiece. The National League Championship Series sees the Dodgers ahead 3-0 as they beat the Cubs 6-1 last night. And the Buffalo Bills have restocked their injury-thinned offense by signing receiver Deontay Thompson. Thompson has 5-plus seasons of NFL experience. The time, 8:51. This is WBFO.
In a few minutes, it's hard to fathom how much the stock market fell 30 years ago tomorrow.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ebsen, innovating the future of display technology with laser projection. Where there's business, there's Ebsen. Learn more at Ebsen.com/forbusiness. And by Deloitte Private, delivering audit, tax, consulting, and advisory services tailored to the needs of growing privately held companies. Deloitte.com/US/private.
From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. First this morning, President Xi Jinping of China delivered his big speech today to kick off China's Communist Party Congress, an event that happens twice a decade, and it'll set leadership and the policy agenda in the world's second largest economy for the next 5 years. It was not a tweet. 3 hours long, the Chinese president said that both China and the world are in the middle of complex changes and laid out a plan for the next 3 decades to make China a, quote, great modern socialist country. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson has more.
This Congress, it's a big deal, says Ishwar Prasad, a professor at Cornell University.
Many China watchers see Xi Jinping already as one of the most powerful leaders that China has had since Mao Zedong. And the expectation is that at the end of this party Congress, Xi's stature is going to be even higher.
All eyes will be on who's chosen for a special leadership committee. Prasad says they'll likely be Xi loyalists, meaning he'd have little resistance to any policies he wants to pursue in his next term. Meredith Shumpner with the Eurasia Group expects Xi to focus on economic policy, like trying to rein in China's growing debt. Also,
more top-down industrial policies that are designed to favor advanced manufacturing, technology, agriculture, and other areas of what the Chinese call the real economy.
But Sumter warns China's focus on its industrial and manufacturing sectors could mean more trade tensions with the U.S. I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
Let's check the live markets here. London's FTSE index is up 0.4%, about a half hour or so before the opening bell on Wall Street. The S&P future is up 0.2%. The Dow future up about 89 points, 0.4%. The NASDAQ future is up 0.1%. Now, it's one thing for a self-driving vehicle to tool along Interstate 40 in North Texas with no other cars in sight, but what about robot Big Shot trying to drive in New York City traffic? There's word General Motors is about to be the first car company to test autonomous vehicles in that city. Robot Chevy Bolt, all electrics. Now, what is the algorithm to not block the box when you try to cross the intersection and the traffic ahead suddenly freezes? Will the robot car get distracted by the semi-naked cowboy in Times Square? GM stock is up about 15% since it announced its very electric, very self-driving future a couple of weeks ago.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Bluehost. Over 2 million small businesses and bloggers rely on Bluehost tools to create, secure, and host their website. Learn more about customizing your presence online at bluehost.com/marketplace. And by Koch Industries, from renewable fuels to helping feed the world, Koch employees accept and tackle life's big challenges. More at kochchallenge.com.
8:55, and good morning to you. This is member-supported 88.7 FM, WBFO in Buffalo. And we are talking about membership this morning. And with that, Carl Lamb and Mark Scott.
Great to be here with you, Jay, and great to be with you, listener, on this fall fun drive. Day 5 of a brief 7-day drive. We've been joking all morning long because it seems like Carl Lamb and I were doing the first broadcast during Science Friday last Saturday afternoon, and here we're in Wednesday, and we're just a couple of days from wrapping this up. So the drive goes fast. Hopefully it moves fast for you as well, and next week you'll be getting the news and information without these interruptions, but we're here now because it's too important. Your support is needed right now at 1-888-858-WBFO.
That number again, 1-888-858-WBFO. And you are the reason for the success of this station with your membership dollars. When you call and make a pledge at the amount that's right for you, maybe that's $10 or $15 a month. I mean, let's be honest, you spend $10 on other streaming services, and certainly cable and internet don't cost just $10 a month, but you could support your NPR station, the radio, and the news that you count on to bring you through the day for just $10 a month. How about $15? Whatever works with your budget, we would love to hear from you at 1-888-858-9236. Mark, 8 calls to go, $668. Certainly nice progress through the hour as we started with 15 calls or $1,500. But we would love to have the phone lines just light up again for our volunteers to take your call at 1-888-858-9236.
You mentioned $15 in monthly giving, and that's a great amount to give because we have a very special thank you gift at that level, $15 a month, and we will say thank you with a pair of WNED, WBFO, Argyle socks. Now, you're a public radio nerd. You know that. You love WBFO. You love NPR. What better way to show off your love for this radio station than with Argyle socks, with our logo implanted on them. You'll be the talk of the town, and it's so affordable at $15 a month. Take advantage of the socks, but take advantage of this opportunity to support WBFO. Our phone number is 1-888-858-WBFO. That number again, 1-888. It's toll free, 1-888-858-9236. Let us hear from you. $15 a month. You won't feel that coming out of your credit card, but it will mean a lot to us because that money sustains us over the course of the year. So make that call now.
Those socks would be much more exciting than the white ones I have on right now. They're pretty plain. But if that's interesting to you, maybe the Thanksgiving Day flowers are interesting, or maybe you've come to expect them during this fall membership campaign. So here they are, $160 at a one-time credit card charge, delivered the Tuesday before Thanksgiving, and they arrive in bud form. They have time to bloom, and they'll be beautiful by Thanksgiving. So if that's a gift that you'd like to take, the number to call is 1-888-858-9236. This is a station that's here for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with the programming that you love. Morning Edition, On Point, Here and Now. It is all here for you whenever you need it. That's because you're supporting the station that you trust and that you have come to expect this wonderful programming from. The number to call is 1-888-858-9236, or go to our website, WBFO.org.
WBFO has the largest radio reporting staff of any radio station in Western New York. Plus, we provide original coverage of important issues, and that includes reports produced by Great Lakes Today. Features produced by our regional journalism collaboration are frequently aired nationally. In fact, just last week, I was so proud of our crew because two of their reports appeared nationally, one on Morning Edition, the other on Here and Now. So we're getting some national exposure from our people here at WBFO. Again, this is all happening because of you and your listener support. That's the important role you play. Don't take WBFO for granted. Take a stand, be represented as a member of WBFO. How do you do that? It's easy. Just call 1-888-858-WBFO. That's 9236. And support WBFO Buffalo HD1, WOLN Olean, WUBJ James.